today is found in the book of Acts, chapter 4 and 5. This is concerning the impotent man that was cured and raised up again from his lameness, and likewise concerning two deceivers. We find in the beginning of this chapter that Peter and John are speaking unto the people and preaching unto them about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we find the captain of the temple and the Sadducees and others, they were grieved that they were speaking so to the people. And being grieved, they took hold of them and they put them in prison. They were not satisfied with the teaching of Peter and John. These two men were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they couldn't do anything else but testify of Jesus Christ and of him being raised from the dead. These rulers and captains and Sadducees did not believe this, and therefore they took hold of them. These men, they received the same treatment as their master did. He had said, "They have hated me, they shall hate you. They have despised me and rejected me, they shall do the same unto you." And now when they had been speaking to the people, the God of heaven and of earth had accompanied the word with much power, and there was much success under the ministry. For we read that there were about 5,000 men that were given to believe. What a rich harvest of souls these two apostles had in speaking unto the people. But they had to suffer to be put in prison. They were a blessed men because Christ had called them blessed. He had said, "Blessed are ye when all men hate you and revile you and despise you and persecute you and speak against thee falsely for my sake." They were then in this category blessed because Christ had spoken that they were blessed. And we find the next morning they took them out of prison and they brought them into their midst. And they questioned them and said unto them, "We want to know by what power you or by what name you have done this miracle." And Peter, being filled with the Holy Ghost, he began to speak unto these rulers, these Sadducees, and likewise this Sanhedrin that had gathered together so quickly to make a decision concerning these two men, what they should do with them. And Peter said, "If you ask us, how come that this miracle has been performed upon this impotent man, be it known unto you that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, this man stands here whole before thee. By him whom ye have crucified." Oh, how Peter, by the Holy Ghost, brought home to these rulers what they had done with Jesus. They were then made murderers of Christ by God himself, because it was not Peter that was speaking. It was the Spirit of God in Peter that spake to these rulers and told them that they were the ones that had despised Christ, but God had raised him from the dead, and he was the one that had performed this wonder upon this impotent man. My hearers, we find in this that if the Spirit of God comes down and takes possession of a person, then that person most certainly will testify of Jesus Christ. Peter could do nothing else but preach about Jesus and that he had been raised from the dead. He taught these people too that they had crucified Christ and that this was the only name given under heaven whereunto men could be saved. He proclaimed then Jesus Christ to this group, to this council, to this Sanhedrin, speaking very boldly and clearly to them. Or he pointed out to them that there was no other way whereby they likewise could be saved. They had crucified him. They had rejected him. They had put him before Pilate as an impostor. and as one that had deceived the people. But God had raised him from the dead, and God was the one that had given his son such glorious power and exalted him, so that these miracles were taking place in and through his name. Oh, it was as if he said, ye rulers, ye men, listen to me. There ain't no other way whereby you can be saved. We are going to be saved this way, and you will have to be saved too. Oh, turn unto him whom ye have despised, whom ye have crucified, whom ye have rejected. And this was the gospel that Peter began to preach unto them. And not only were these Jewish leaders and these Jewish people guilty of crucifying Christ and despising him and rejecting him, but you and I, my hearers, are doing the very same thing. This is what we do by nature. We have no desire for Christ. We set him at naught. He is not in all our thoughts, and we have no desire in his ways and to walk according to them. Oh, we reject him time and again. And this name is the only name given whereby you and I can be saved. Oh, it's such a sweet name. It's a wonderful name. Oh, it's a blessed name. And by this name you can be saved. Oh, listen, and turn ye yet unto him. Seek ye him while he yet is to be found. Call upon him while he is yet near. I bring him to thee in the medium of this precious word. Oh, may you fall under it. May you say, here, Lord, I sit a sinner who has crucified thee with my sins, who has rejected thee time and again, who has turned away from thee and will have no part of thee. But oh, look upon me. Do be merciful unto me and save me a sinner. And this is the gospel that Peter brought likewise to these Sanhedrin and the rulers and the captain of the temple. And now they conferred together. They put Peter and John on one side for a few moments. And they said, what should we do with these men? That there was a notable miracle done is manifest throughout all Jerusalem. But that it be spread no further, let us threaten them and speak unto them and say that they should not teach or speak any more in the name of Jesus. And so they gathered them together again in their midst, and they spake unto them and threatened them that they should not speak any more or teach in the name of Jesus Christ. But Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, he said unto these rulers, judge ye who we should obey, or whether we should obey God or obey you. We cannot do anything else but speak of the things that we have heard and seen. They had been commissioned by Christ to preach the gospel. They had been given these extraordinary powers to perform miracles. And now this, what they were told to do, was contrary to what God had commanded them to do. And should they then listen to these rulers? Should they obey them? Or should they listen to God? This was put before this council. Judge ye what we should do. We couldn't talk of anything else about what we have heard and seen. All these men, they couldn't be turned away. They couldn't, by all the threatenings of these people, be put to silence. It was the devil in this council who was trying to silence these apostles, but it was an impossibility at the present time. And they had to speak about Jesus. They had to testify of him and what they had seen and heard of him. Oh, my hearers, if this self-same spirit takes possession of you, then you likewise will testify of Jesus. Then you will begin to speak with another tongue. It will be noticed that you, an unlearned and uneducated person, likewise have been with Jesus. This is what they noticed on these two apostles. They were but poor fishermen. They had been followers of Christ for 3 years. And when he was crucified, they fled. And after his resurrection, then we find them being commissioned. And here we find them preaching the glorious gospel. Oh, this self-same spirit, my hearers, must take possession of you, must come down into your heart, and then likewise it will be noticed. Some will say, well, look at that poor ignorant creature. Oh, he had no teaching, he had no college education, he never went to a seminary, but oh, listen to him. Hear what he says, hear what he speaks. Oh, it'll be noticed that you likewise have had instruction from Jesus. What a mercy, my hearers, to have this self-saved spirit in your heart and to be given likewise to testify of what he has done to you. Oh, do you ever come out for what he has done for you? Has he ever done anything to you? Has he ever entered into your heart with his spirit? Has he convicted you of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment? Has he emptied you and stripped you of every way possible whereby you tried to be saved? And has he led you to himself? Has he given you to see something of his beauty, something of his excellency, something of his grace, of his mercy, of his love, of his pity towards sinners? I am sure you ever seen anything like this. Then truly you will speak about him. You will testify of him. You will say, I can't do anything else but speak of the things that I have heard and I have seen of this wonderful person. Oh, how little do we see of him. How little do we testify of him in these days in which we live. Oh, we need not much to turn us away from Christ. I marvel at this man that was made whole, this impotent man. We find that he was in the midst of these apostles. He came there that same day. Some think that he had been put in prison with the apostles, but the Bible doesn't say so. But he was there, and he stood in the midst with them. Oh, he loved them. He wanted to defend them and to prove by what he was that this miracle had taken place with him. Oh, it's a wonder that these Jewish leaders didn't take this man and spirit him away somewhere and hide him so that they would have no opportunity to say, well, there he is. He's the man that was raised up. But he stood there. He was a witness for these apostles. And he loved these two apostles for what they had done to him. And likewise, my hearers, these apostles, they being brought before this council, they were fearless. They were bold. Oh, they didn't run away from their work. They, when they were let go, they went to their own company, it says. Oh, I am sure if you and I were in their place, we would be so filled with fear, we would run away. But not these two apostles. They were filled with God. They were filled with the Spirit. They were not afraid of anybody. Oh, blessed it is to have something of this Spirit dwelling in us. Then we fear no man. Then we come out for his name and for his honor. But oh, if we, in our impotency, even though we have the Spirit, oh, we are such poor creatures. If somebody gives us a sour face, if somebody pulls a frown, if somebody has an evil eye towards us, we're not saying anymore. We go away. We wouldn't talk anymore about Jesus. But oh, not these apostles. They had these group of men, the Sanhedrin, opposing them, and they spoke boldly and fearlessly. And now they couldn't find any reason why they should punish these men. They hadn't done anything wrong. They had done good. So what did they do? They let them go. And we read they went to their own company. Where did they go to? They went to the 5,000 that had been wrought upon. Oh, what a blessing, my hearers, these men had upon their work. And they went amongst them, and they began to explain to them what had happened to them. They had been taken prisoner, and they had been brought before the council, and they had spoken to them in the name of Jesus. And all when these group of Christians heard what had taken place with these two apostles, oh, then they unitedly drew nigh unto God. Oh, they with one accord began to pray unto God. They lifted up their voices and said, Oh, Lord God, thou who hast made heaven and earth and the seas and all that is therein, oh, thou who art able and mighty to help us, look down in mercy upon us. I just can't remember just exactly the word for word the way that these people prayed, but the substance of it was that they were like in the time of David. He had prophesied that the kings and the rulers of the earth would stand up against his son, and here it was taking place amongst them. And wouldn't he look down? Didn't he see that? Did he not know that? Oh, you have heard their threatenings, Lord, and now we pray thee that thou would give unto us as thy servants to speak boldly and fearlessly in thy name, and that many wonders may be done and miracles by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Oh, this prayer, my hearers, that these people were given to pray came from heaven, and it went right back to heaven. Have you ever had a prayer like that? Have you ever been given to pray by the Spirit of God? Have you ever had access to God in heaven above and believed that he heard you and that he would answer you? Oh, they received immediately an answer. Immediately, the place was shaken where they were gathered together. The commentary says there came such a wind at that present time that it shook the house where they were gathered in, just as on the day of Pentecost. And oh, the God of heaven answered these people. Oh, he was in their midst. God was in the midst of her. This was his Zion. This was his church. This was his people. And here he would dwell. Here he manifested himself. He was their refuge. He was their strength. And he gave unto them that his Spirit came down upon every one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, it says. And they began to speak the word very boldly, very clearly, very plainly and fearlessly. All these group of people, they were so wrought upon, and they were so united together, the rich and the poor amongst them, they all had everything in common. All in one unity, they were all with one heart and one soul united together. Oh, where could we find a church like that today? Oh, my hearers, studying this and looking at the churches, it is in this time in which we live. It grieves me so. There is so little unity. There is so little accord. Oh, there is so much of the opposite, so much discord, and so much, what am I? I ain't going to do anything for him. He ain't no good to me. This is the brotherly love that is revealed in the times in which we live. Oh, in this time, my hearers, this was entirely gone. Oh, they were united together in love and unity. And oh, what a blessed group of people this church was. And they all were filled with the Spirit of God. Oh, my hearers, thinking of this, where can we find someone, even one today, that is filled with the Spirit of God? Oh, there are true, there are some that have the Spirit of God. But to be filled with it, to have God dwelling in you, and to have God speaking through you, oh, we cannot find that in the times in which we live. And likewise with the church, the Christian church of our time. Oh, where could we find a church on earth like these people? Well, it is true, this was the beginning of the Christian church. This was the blessed outpouring of the Spirit. And they had everything over for each other. Oh, they were so loose of the world, so loose of their riches, so loose of everything. They were so united to each other, my hearers. Oh, what a blessing this was. Oh, when God comes down and takes possession of any sinner, and he puts a good work of grace in that person's soul, then that person experiences something like this, what these people experienced. Oh, if he meets another person who has been wrought upon, there's unity, there's love. Oh, they love to speak with each other about the things of the Lord. And oh, they are so loose of this world, so loose of sin. Oh, have you ever experienced this, my hearers? Oh, then you become so loose of everything, and you are so attached to God. There's so much love to God in your soul. Oh, you walk with God, you talk with God, you live with God, and God is your all and in all. Has he ever been that for you? Has you ever had God so close to you? Have you ever been made loose of all earthly things? All these people, they didn't care anymore about the things of this earth. All they thought about was Jesus Christ and him crucified. He was their Savior. He was their Redeemer. And for him they wanted to live. And so they did. We find that many, they sold their possessions, they sold their estates, and they brought their riches to the feet of the apostles. So loose they were. There were at that time no deacons like we have in our times. We have at times collection for the poor. Thanks be it, we don't have too many poor at the present time. Sometimes the collection that's supposed to be designated for the poor is designated for another good cause. But at that time, there were no deacons appointed yet, so there were many poor amongst them, and these poor, they were supplied with all the necessities that they had out of the fullness that these people brought to the feet of the apostles. The apostles, they became the deacons. They had to distribute out of the funds that these people brought, and they were helped. All the poor were helped. They all had the same. They all lived in common. They had no difference with each other. Oh, what a wonderful blessing this was, that they provided for each other. And now there were some that likewise sold estates and brought that to the apostles' feet. And this is what takes place, my hearers. When God comes into a person's heart, then that person has so much love, so much liberality, and so much feeling for his brother or his sister in the Lord, that they would do anything to help them out. And now there was a certain man by the name of Joseph, who was surnamed Barnabas by the apostles, who was from the island of Cyprus. He likewise sold a possession, and he brought this money to the feet of the apostles. And this man, Barnabas, son of Consolation, he was born in the island of Cyprus. Cyprus is an island in the Mediterranean Sea. It lies in between Syria and Cilicia. It's an island about 200 miles long and 75 miles wide. This man, being born there, a Levite, he was brought to Jerusalem, and he was educated at the feet of Gamaliel, the same man at whose feet Paul had been educated. And this man, they believe, was one of the 70 that Christ had chosen and had sent out. He was a man that was filled with the Holy Ghost and full of faith. This man, Barnabas, he likewise had this possession, and for the help and for the increase of the kingdom of Christ, he sold it. And he brought the money to the feet of the apostles. This was spoken of by everybody. What a good man he was, how liberal he was, how loose he was of this world. And he brought all that he had to the feet of the apostles. Many were doing this, my hearers. And now we come to the fifth chapter, where we find a certain man by the name of Ananias and his wife, Sapphira. They likewise had a possession, and they sold it. And they likewise spake to each other concerning what they had sold. They were probably wealthy people, and they were jealous of what was taking place in the church. There was so much being spoken about how liberal these people were and how they gave so abundantly, and that many of the rich people, they likewise were doing this. And then when this man Barnabas done this, why then it was noised throughout the whole congregation. And now these two people, they thought, well, if we do the same thing, then they'll praise us too. Then our name will be spread throughout the congregation, and we will be honored. So they spake to each other concerning to sell the possession that they had and to bring it to the apostles' feet. So they agreed, Ananias and Sapphira, to do this. But when they had sold this, it yielded so much money, and they began to look at that money, and they began to think, well, should we give all that to them? Can't we keep part of it for ourselves? They were kind of covetous. They thought, why give it all to the apostles? There's plenty coming there anyway. Let's keep part of it for ourselves, for we don't know what a day will bring. We may need it ourselves. We may be brought into a position that we might have use for it. So they agreed, both of them, to keep part of this money to themselves, not to say nothing to nobody. They would then bring what they had to the apostles' feet as if it was the complete price of the property that they had sold. So Ananias, he likewise then was a Christian man. He had joined the church. Some think that he was even a minister. This is what Lightfoot thinks. He says he wasn't just a common Christian, he says, but he was a minister. And this man, he separated what he wanted with his wife for himself, and the rest he put in a bag, and he brought it to the feet of the apostle. And now we find, when he came there with this gift, and then Peter, a man filled with the Holy Ghost, a man who God had possession of. Remember this. It was God that revealed in Peter what this man had in his mind and what he was doing. Otherwise, Peter would have never known it. But God was in Peter, and the Holy Ghost was in Peter. And now this man, he came to Peter with this gift, and Peter, looking at him, spake unto him, and said unto him, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to keep back part of the price of this property that you have sold? While it was yours, was it not your own in your own power to do the way you wanted to? And this man, Ananias, he was dumbstruck. He couldn't say anything back to Peter. This apostle said unto him, thou hast not lied unto man, but thou hast lied unto God. Peter then brings home to him his sin, how Satan had filled his heart to do this, and how that he had listened to Satan, how he had given way to it. He had went over the top of his conscience, and he had done something not against just man, but he had done something against God. Thou hast not lied unto man, but unto God. And as Peter spake this unto him, we find that God's justice and vengeance came down upon this man. Immediately he fell down dead at the apostles' feet. Oh, what an awful thing this must have been for this congregation that was assembled together there to see something like this take place. Oh, how God visited this man in a wonderful way for his sin and for his iniquity. He was immediately struck by God. Some think he was struck like Herod. An angel struck him. How he was struck, we do not know. But we do read that he immediately fell down dead at the apostles' feet. Oh, my hearers, this sin was immediately visited upon. Many times people have committed a sin like this, similar to it, and God has not visited them in this manner. This was, we believe, just of God to do this. But he had lied unto the Holy Ghost. In which way? How must we explain this, that he had lied not unto man, but unto God? In the first place, my hearers, Lightfoot thinks, as I said, that he was a minister, and that he had the Holy Ghost within him, and that he went over the top of the voice of the Holy Ghost within him, and he went and did what he had done. He had what? He had kept back part of the price. He had made believe that he was given everything that he had in this respect. He was looking for honor. He was looking for praise. And at the same time, he was a hypocrite. He was a liar. He was a cheat. He was a deceiver. He went over the top of the Spirit of God, Lightfoot thinks, in him. But we could also believe that he likewise sinned against God in this respect, that all the other people, they who had the Holy Spirit, had been given wholeheartedly to give what they had and to bring to the feet of the apostles. And now he came, but he did not do it wholeheartedly. He came with part of the price back home. So in this way, he sinned against the Spirit of God. not only in these other people, but also in the apostles who were there. In other words, they thought within themselves, why should we give them all the money? We don't know if they're to be trusted with this money. Then again, they had probably in their minds that these men who said that they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they wouldn't be able to discern this. They wouldn't know this. In this way, they sinned against the Spirit of God too, because the Spirit of God is a spirit of discernment. And this is what it was, even in the heart of Peter. They then sinned and lied against God. This is what this man Ananias did. And God struck him immediately. Was this wrong? Was this something out of ordinary that God did? God has done this before, my hearers. You read of a man that went out on the Sabbath day picking up sticks to make a fire. And they brought him to Moses. What should we do with him? God answered, stone him to death. Oh, how cruel, how mean, how terrible. But God is a God of justice. God is a holy God. God must punish sin. Take, for instance, those that were dancing and worshiping around the golden calf. They likewise were sinning against God. And did not God visit them? Did not God punish them? Oh, God has revealed at various times throughout the ages that this world has stood that he is a just God and must punish iniquity. Be sure your sin will find you out. God is not mocked, my hearers. And now when you consider these people, what they did, likewise, his wife, she was an accomplice in this. She agreed with him. And now she probably was sitting home waiting for him to come back to see what the people had said and how he had been praised for what he had given, but he didn't come. Hours went by. No Ananias. Finally, after 3 hours, she went. And she came to the feet of the apostles. And when she came there, then Peter, he questioned her. He answered her and said, was this the price of the property that you agreed to sell? Yes, she says. She didn't stop 1 minute to think. She hadn't heard anything of what had happened to her husband. It was all unknown to her. And she lied too. She said that that was the price that they had received for the property. All these poor people, had they only but said to Peter and to John and to the apostles, listen, we kept part of it back, and this is what we're going to give, then it would have been honest. It would have been sincere. But they didn't do this. They deceived the people. They tried to deceive the apostles, and they thought they were deceiving God. But no, Peter spake unto her and said, the feet of those that have buried thy husband are at the door, and they likewise will carry thee out. And immediately she fell down dead. Oh, just think of this, my hearers. If something like that took place in this church, two impostors, two hypocrites, two deceivers, if they immediately fell dead, what a fear would come upon us. Wouldn't you be afraid to sin? Wouldn't you be afraid to deceive anybody? Wouldn't you try to live an honest and an upright life? This is what this lesson teaches us. Great fear came upon all those that heard these things. Oh, they trembled. You may be sure that nobody tried to bring anything to the apostles' feet, that they kept back part of it. Oh, no. When this took place, everybody brought it to the feet of the apostles, and they brought what they had received. They didn't keep any of it. Oh, this teaches me and you, my hearers, likewise, that we are sinners. Thinking of this, who can say that they're not guilty of telling a lie? Who has not deceived other people? I would never be able to say that in the sight of God. God knows each and every one of us what deceivers we are and what hypocrites we are and what liars we are. Is this true? Positively, the Word of God teaches us this. Every man is a liar, God says, and there's only one that is true. Oh, how simple it is and how easy it is to lie. how quickly we have a lie on the end of our lips to save ourselves, to save our name. But all my hearers, the word of God teaches us, and this is the truth. You read it in the book of Revelations, that all liars are excluded out of the kingdom of heaven. No liars will enter into the kingdom of heaven unless you are found clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And then all your lies and all your sins are covered in the sight of that holy God. He beholds you in Jesus, and in him you will be given to enter in. Oh, may you and I be given to pray with David. He was a man after God's own heart, and he said, let honesty and integrity preserve me. Thinking and studying about this lesson, how it brought me to God, that he would likewise give me to be honest, to be sincere, to be upright, or not to lie just to save our good name, but to be honest with man and with God. Oh, may God bless the teaching of his truth this day to you and to my immortal souls. That's all for today.